don't ever forget this. It sounds funny, but I really mean it. You know, I said this jokingly before. If they say a man is using something, he should never be impressed again. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
You know what I mean by somebody using something? I say, man, how that man is using jazz. That's why he gets that kind of result. Please, don't say it again. Not because people don't do such things. But most times we say things like that. We have this little bit of a feeling of awe or, you know, how do I use the word now? Regard. You won't do it, but yes, respect. That's the word. There's a bit of respect for that thing. Do you understand? You wouldn't do it, but your mind thinks that the man has a kind of power the average man does not have. And it's not good thinking. If a man is using something, it should let you know that you have something stronger to use. So they say this man is getting results because he's using something. You say, why is my own something not working more than his own? After all, my something is more powerful. Amen? Life is not fair. Are you getting my point? It's not equal. All fingers are not equal. Christian fingers are longer than normal. Are you getting my logic? Yes, yes, because we have power with God. The problem we have a lot of times as believers is that we don't realize it. We don't talk like it. Do you understand? The other day I was telling Bishop that somebody was annoying me. So I said, Bishop, let me go and see this man. You know what I'm going to tell him? I said, I'm going to tell him that if he's not careful, I will report him to God. Now, I'm using that one to just explain something to Christians. We actually use jazz. Are you getting my point? We use juju. Yes, that's what Christians don't get. It is just that our own juju is not the type that people are using. Our own is open to everybody. It doesn't cost anything because somebody has paid everything. I hope you're getting my point. But what we just need to do, I just want to say that again and again. You know, because sometimes we say it, people think you are joking. But one of the things we must learn to do is to bring the gospel to reality. The fact is that there is power in the word of God. And it's available to the believer. So if other people are using something, this is our own something. Are you getting my point? Like I said before, it has its own do's and don'ts. It has. There are things, let everyone who names the name of the Lord do what? That's our don't. Those are the things that spoil the power. Those are the things that spoil the power in our own something. When we don't depart, the power spoils. It spoils. It does not work. You shout, come out. It says, I'm not going anywhere. Why? You say, who are you? Are you getting my point? They don't recognize. Those are the things. Those are the problems. But the one I want to just remind us again of is the way we talk in life is very, very crucial. Talk like people that have power behind them. We must do that. We must talk like people that have power behind us. We don't react to situations. You know, I was thinking, we're going to read that again today. We'll finish declaring the word of God. All right, that Romans chapter 12. You know, Christians sometimes, when we see tribulations, when we see trials, we react as if we don't have power, all right, behind us. We must talk like people that have God on their side. We must talk. I mean, even when you hear of security problems, not the, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We pray. And the God that used to guard his people, I remember when the Philistines gathered, they said, yes, all of Israel have gathered in one place. Let's now finish them once and for all. Samuel said, don't worry about them. I think God sent thunder and hail and scattered the Philistines. Then God sent, Samuel just looked and said, don't worry, let's do our business. Don't worry about these people. And then God sent natural disaster against those who were gathered against Israel. That God is not asleep. He's not dead. He's not asleep. He's not dead. He's alive and well. I went into all of that just trying to tell Christians. Listen, you must watch how you use your words. You must watch how you respond to things in life. Because if we don't respond properly, I keep on saying this again and again. If the Lord Jesus could allow Peter to sink in front of him, and when he finally shouted, help me, what did he say to him? Why did you doubt? Where's your faith? And when his people were crying at the time, he said, where's your faith? People can throw their faith away. Now, if the Lord will allow Peter to sink right in front of him, it means no matter how much he wants to bless somebody, if he does not find faith in the heart, we are going down. Are you getting my point? Let's rise to our feet. Let's declare the word of God. Like people that have power. on their side. For those who are not used to it, like I was saying earlier, if you ever hear of cults, this is the one of the meeting places of the deepest cult on the earth. And I'm a very active member. Amen?
Amen?
If you're an active member of a cult, say amen.
Amen.
Very good. Our cult is called the Confraternity of who? Of Christ. Yes. We are members of his body. I say it all the time. We eat flesh and we drink blood. And we don't eat the flesh of sinners or drink the HIV-infected blood. It's the blood of Jesus. Amen. He said, except to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. But we have life in us. Amen?
Amen.
Which means we eat his flesh and we drink his blood. So we are blood drinkers and flesh eaters. All the witches you hear about, they are amateurs. They don't know how to chew. Are you getting my point? We are the ones that really know how to do it. All right, the Lord is good. So every meeting, we declare our incantations, which is the word of God. With this one, we control our understanding. With this one, we control the will of God. That is, we control our lives to make sure it's conformed with the will of God. So let's declare the word of God. 1, 2, as we start studying. 1, 2, go.
Now
I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me life and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I said amen.
Amen.
The most important thing that word is doing is making us more and more like the Lord Jesus. And once we become exactly like him, life responds to us the way we used to respond to him. I said to us before, if Jesus said anything by, in quote, accident, just as if it's not serious, just said it, that thing comes to pass. That thing comes to pass. He looked at a tree, and the tree disappointed him. And he said to the tree, nobody will eat of your fruit again. He was not planning to check on that tree. He did not think about that tree a second time. The tree was not a prayer point. But because he uttered words, what happened was the tree had to die. And this is one thing I want to emphasize to us again. When we talk about total faith, I explained it then. You see, everything in your life, know how you respond. You have a headache. Don't just get up and say, hey, I don't know, this headache has been troubling me for 4 days. What could it be? Do you know a neurologist? You know, when Christians call me, that's the thing. Do you know a neurologist? Why? I've been having this headache. It's like 6 weeks now. It has not gone away. I have taken Panadol. I have taken ibuprofen. I have taken anti-malarials. It is still there. Do you know a neurologist? What's the neurologist supposed to do? Come and find out what is wrong. And that is, whatever he says, you will believe it. If he says, I checked, you have a pilocystic astrocytoma. That's it. I want that set of prayer points. So what's the first prayer point? I want you to cancel the word pilocystic astrocytoma. And the pastor doesn't even know what that is. Say, you pilocytic astrocytoma, I speak unto you, come out. What am I going to say? When the headache disturbed the Lord Jesus, all right, in the tree, he said, no one will eat of your fruit again. How should we respond? The headache, tell it, no one, I will not eat of your fruit again. What is the fruit? You don't let me sleep well. What is the fruit? You let me go to miss work. What is the fruit? You want to disturb my soul, all right? When you say that, what happens? Remember, Jesus just looked at a tree. Didn't tell the tree, die. He just said, nobody will eat your fruit again. By saying to that headache like that, it is possible. You will have killed that astrocytoma before the doctor had the opportunity of diagnosing it. Are you getting my point? That's what I mean, that when we become more and more like the Lord Jesus, life responds to us the way it responded to him. Remember, there was a time he was broke, but they came to him and said, pay some taxes. And he did not have money for it at that time. So he said, he just looked and said, where is money? And the Holy Spirit let him know that money has been swallowed by fish. So he said to Peter, go and meet the fish. Tell him to return our offering. Are you getting my point? And Peter went there, cast a hook in the water. One fish dutifully swam up. Peter collected it, opened his mouth, removed the money. It was just enough to pay for Peter and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that lest we give them offense. Even though what they are doing is wrong, they're not supposed to tax us, but lest we give them offense. Yet, are you getting my point? Just for a trivial thing like that, God responded. So when the word is making us more and more like the Lord Jesus, at the point of your need, listen, God will come through for you.
Amen.
Are you getting my point here? It will not happen that you will be at a point of need and God will not come through.
Amen.
It will not happen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord is good. Let's sit down quickly. Let's look at the word of God briefly. Talking about keeping the faith up. Or I began to talk a few days ago. This is our school of prayer. What I want to talk about today briefly is nothing new, just the same thing, because it's a prayer matter. Remember we read from that book of Mark chapter 5. A man came to the Lord Jesus. Please come. My daughter is sick. Is seriously sick, of course. Come and pray for her that she might be well. On the way, there was distraction because a woman was also being ministered to. Then the Lord now said, the people now came from the house and told the man, don't trouble the master anymore. The child has died. And then Jesus overheard them and said to him simply, don't worry about the news. Don't be overcome with anxiety. Don't let fear rule you. Don't respond to what is happening the way the flesh wants you to respond. What are you supposed to do? Just keep on believing. That's Mark chapter 5. That's verse 36. He said, don't be afraid. Keep on believing. I like what the Amplified said. Very interesting. Let's just read it again. In the Amplified Bible, it says it like this. Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing. And when that man held on to the word of the Lord Jesus, he saw the miracle that the word contained. He kept on believing, and when they got to his house in verse 41, after Jesus had put everybody out, he took the child by the hand and said to the child, little girl, I say to you, get up. What I want to talk about today is the fact that even the dead, they hear the words of the Lord Jesus. And listen to me, if his words are on your lips, the dead will hear it also. That's what I want to talk about. He said to her, little girl, I say to you, get up. Usually when somebody is dead, let me give you a scientific discovery I just made. Usually when somebody is dead, the ears don't work again. The person can't hear again. It's a scientific discovery. If you don't believe me, go to the market, go and get a fish and kick it. If it's a dead fish, it won't move. You can go and buy a fowl and kill it and tell it, shh, see whether it will respond. It won't move. What am I going to say? Things that are dead normally don't have ears. However, if it's the word of God that's been spoken, no matter the situation of that thing, it has ears. That's what I want to emphasize. Now, people that were, the human beings that were dead, they had ears. But the other thing is that even things that have never had physical ears, they have ears when the word of God is coming forth. We must get this point clear. Now, let's bear that in mind. I want us to just back up. That's why we've been looking at talking about keeping the faith up. I will come back to this matter in a moment, but I feel like reading that Romans chapter 12 that we read last time. Please, let's just read it again, and then we'll pray. Especially because when I was reading that Romans chapter 12, I discovered that he emphasized on devotion to prayer. After Paul listed a lot of gifts and callings, in verse 9, he said, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. He said, give preference to one another in honor. He said, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Let me just complete verse 14 and then into verse. I just want to read some more anyway. It said, bless those who persecute you. If they are Muslims, still bless them. Bless and do not curse. He said, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind to one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. I just read all of that, okay, just to complete the reading of that section. Actually, what I want from there is when he said, but in the early parts, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer. Now, that's the one I just want to bring out. There are certain traits that the Bible says that Christians must exercise themselves in. For example, this issue of tribulation, trials, troubles. Christians must learn how to persevere, not how to escape. How to persevere is very important when there is trouble. That's what he said here. He now said we must be devoted to prayer. That thing it struck me since I read it last week. I've read this portion again and again. But this time around, it just struck me that Paul said Christians must be devoted to prayer. And I'm now asking myself, what does it mean to be devoted to prayer? Jesus taught men ought always to pray and not to get tired. Paul said, pray without ceasing. All right? When you look at this, all these commandments, all these admonitions of the New Testament, what the Lord was saying essentially to us is this. The power for us to release, the way by which release the power of God that is available to us is through prayer. Now, it is important we learn to pray effectively. And that's why we've been doing this school of prayer. So that people can understand that there is a method. Now, what I'm talking about today, all right, specifically is the fact that things have ears and how we should pray all the time, expecting God to manifest his power in our prayer. Are you getting my point? Let me quickly say this. One of the things I think is it confuses Christians is that when we have this prayer time thing. Now, listen, please don't get me wrong. Prayer time is not wrong. After all, we gather here, so let's come and learn to pray. And then for co-workers, 4:30 every Saturday, we pray for some time before the meeting starts, all right? We pray. So prayer is important. We set that time. It's good to wake up during the night and pray. But I want to just explain something again to us today, that prayer is not just a time. If we have this time of prayer mentality, Christians often have this behavior outside the time of prayer that kills every prayer they prayed in the time of prayer. So in effect, there's nothing they are prayed about. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I hope you follow my point. That is, when it's time to pray, we kneel down. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But when it's not prayer time, we look at our boss. Our eyes are upon the physical person. You know, without this man, we are all dead. All right? In this country, if we don't have the right head of state, we are all dead. In this country, if I don't get a job, then we'll get the time of prayer. We say, no, a job is not my source. I kneel down. My Father, who art in heaven, you will give me this day my daily bread. But when I get up from there, I get to work. Have they paid salary? No. How will somebody eat? This kind of wicked people we have in this country, they don't even have respect for other people's feelings. This now, then you complain. There's time of prayer. You go back to our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. Then you go to the office next day. Have they paid salaries again? No. There cannot be food. How will somebody eat? Are you getting my logic here? At the time of prayer, we pray properly. Then the time that's off prayer, we think our words are not important. I made a statement here about 2 weeks ago. I said words are not expressions of opinions only. They are the methods by which spiritual power is released. Don't ever forget that. Words don't just express your opinion. Don't ever forget it. Anytime you want to talk, you want to speak, especially you are talking to situations, you are responding to things, you are a parent, you are talking to your children, or you, it's only you have authority. You are a pastor, you are talking to your church people, you are a husband, you are talking to your wife, you know, you are a citizen, you are talking to your nation. Don't ever forget, you are not just expressing your opinion, you are releasing spiritual power. That's why if you ever hear my teaching on when I say name your child and name your wife, it's also in the book. Should I say yes? Which, if you have the soft version, it's in two books. So it's in the second one, which is titled God is the Match. No. Number one is God is the Matchmaker. Second one is what? Fundamentals of Christian Marriage. Yes, I discussed it in there. When God spoke to Adam, all right, and he told Adam, you know, when you read in that Genesis chapter 3, that God brought every animal to Adam to name, all right? You think that Adam just gave it, you know, you dog, you cow. No, it's far beyond that. But I don't want to talk about the animals now. What I want to talk about is Eve. When God now brought Eve to Adam, it was the same way he brought every other creature to him to give a name. Because as soon as Adam saw, Adam responded and gave a name. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And said, a woman she shall be called. The name came from Adam. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? And in fact, when I teach at weddings, if I have to give a sermon at a wedding, that's really what I teach upon. So you have to be careful what you call your wife now. Can I digress? A lot of single guys in the house. You have to be very, very careful. Now you practice it before that day. You know, you have to make it a habit. It's not, you know, if you sit down with men and say, hey, you can never trust women. Once you marry a woman, make sure you have enough money because, you know, you all come and finish your money. And you keep on saying that. Listen, it is to you according to your faith. You will marry a spendthrift woman. She will come into your house and finish your money. And you will say, I said it. And everybody in the heavens will say, yes, you said it. But you are thinking that I said it, you see, I predicted rightly. No, they said, we only confirmed that which you said. When I was a young man, when you talk to people, maybe in your office and all of that, they'll tell you all kinds of. They now start telling you stories. Bad, bad stories of bad, bad girls. When they told me that, I referred them to what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon said it, that yes, there are bad ones. Their hands are chains. Their heart is a snare. Or no one is a hand. He said, oh God, that some are worse than Jezebel. It's there in the Bible. He said, but the man who fears God shall be delivered. So I remember what I said to one brother who was discussing with me then. He was a pastor. In fact, what he said was that we met somewhere. And he said, because we used to share, you know, they came from a particular ministry to come and prepare for some crusades. And I was working with the church that was cooperating with them during my holidays. So me and two other pastors used to go around together to go and check this, check that. We just move around together. So we used to talk about the word of God. Just by the way, let me digress a bit. That's how long that look. These funny pastors are very funny. These guys, that's the only job they did. That I was a resident. And I'll be saying things I've never heard before. And I'm like, what are you people doing with your time? This is the only job now. I mean, you should be there studying, reading. Why am I come I'm the one that's educating you on what's happening anyway? One of those days, yeah, that one of them was so impressed by me and all of that. He came to the side. He said, you came from Lagos, eh? I said, yes. He said, and you're not married? I said, no, that I'm not married. He said, hey, be careful of Lagos sisters, though. That was the counsel he gave me. You're in Lagos, shine your eyes, though. Those women, they are dangerous, you know, that kind of thing. I said, don't worry. Then I opened my Bible for him to that portion of the book of Ecclesiastes. I read it out to him like that, and I said, even, I remember the statement. I said, my brother, even if I'm in the midst of a million Jezebels, I won't marry one. He said, amen, it's true, praise God. You know, that kind of response. But he was really worried for me, and I didn't know why he was worried. I mean, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize something here. So we must recognize that life responds, even things that are dead, they respond to our words. We know the story. Let's not bother reading now. Okay, we know the story very well now. The one in Mark chapter 11 we've been referring to. The Lord Jesus walked to that tree and spoke to the tree. Trees normally don't hear. They don't have ears. All right, physically speaking. And dead people don't have ears. When the Lord Jesus spoke to Lazarus, Lazarus responded. When he spoke to this little girl, she responded. When he spoke to a tree, the tree responded. And what I want to emphasize is that every talk we are talking, everything we are saying every time, things are responding to them. That's what I want to remind us of again today. That's how I've been explaining that we should be careful to make sure that when we are talking, we magnify God. We don't magnify our circumstances. We discussed that last time. We must be very, very careful to magnify him. I like one thing, I think was Andrew Womack that said it. Anyway, I've heard it from different people, but I think the one I remember is Andrew Womack. He said that don't talk to God about your situation alone. Talk to the situation about God. That thing is not a joke. I mean, practice it literally. You should bring out your checkbook Or no, your ATM card. Do you still use checkbooks? This is now online. Okay, bring out your phone. Open your app. Your GT app, Access Bank, whatever be your own. Open the app. Say, let's have a discussion. Let me tell you the truth. Until you have done things that make you look like you are mad, you are not ready for God yet. I mean that literally. People should look at you and wonder what you are doing. It's very important. Your father should enter your room one day, or your friends should enter where you are one day, and say, what are you doing? And they should wonder, have you gone crazy? So what is he doing? He's talking to his phone. You, assume your mother, you're at home. You went to visit. Your mother peeps, wanted to come and see you in the morning, but unfortunately, you didn't see her come. Then she sees you talking on the table. And she wants to check what you are talking to. And sees your phone is open. And your GT app is open. And you're having conversation with your bank account. Say, let me tell you about God. Then your mother steps out and is getting worried. Goes to call your father. When that happens, then know you are ready for a breakthrough. I'm telling you, the day that happens, just know you have made it. You enter your shop in the morning. You own a shop, you sell things. And then, maybe one of your staff came early and sees you talking to your goods. You go to a shelf and you are addressing goods and services. You are talking to, and like I said, you're not speaking desire, because that's something I have learned. No. It's very important. It's crucial, because the word of God is more powerful than your desires. No, the word of God is much more powerful. Much more powerful. You just get there and you start saying to the things. Read scripture sometimes that they can't even understand normally, but the Holy Spirit will help them understand. They will interpret it to them. Just carry the scripture. Go there, say, you're looking at a shelf of, assume you are selling building equipment, building materials. And you are talking to building materials, cement and nails. And you are saying to them, listen, I am your boss. And this is the word of the Lord to you and me. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. And you turn around, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion. Whatever I put my hands to do, I prosper. In all that I do, I prosper. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency. And you are talking to material things. You know what will happen? Somebody in your shop will sneak to the next shop and say, come. You come and say, hey, this man, don't be crazy. Then once you turn, I see three people gathered and they are staring at you. Just no breakthrough has come. Look, a Christian walking by faith, at certain times will look like a mad person. I told you the first time I hear a brother declaring the word of God to himself, I left the room. I wasn't used to it that time. He went to read book. He brought book out and he was talking loud. I wasn't used to people talking to themselves. I was just used to people praying and then people giving quiet. But talking to themselves, normal people didn't do it. So I gently wore my slippers and left the room before the brother turns on me. But years later, I realized that he was the same person. I was the one that had the problem. I hope you're getting my point. We're talking about the fact that we are devoted to prayer. That's why I read that portion. You are devoted to prayer. Things have ears. We must make it a habit. He said devoted to prayer. In the last few days, I was just sitting there in the house. I had to put it on my phone. If you put my phone on, you see it scroll past. Devoted to prayer. How can a man be? Is it that you just be saying, in the name of Jesus, you be speaking in tongues? You can do all of that. There's nothing wrong with it. But I think what is most important, that's my understanding for now, is this habit of talking the word of God all the time and talking to things, knowing that they are responding. Yeah. Knowing that they are responding. I said earlier, listen, words are not just the expression of your ideas, of your opinions. They are the ways by which the power of God is released. Learn to respond to every situation with what the Lord has said. That's why you have to fill your heart with the knowledge of God's word. You want to travel, they say, on that road, that was where Philanihesme killed some people. On that road, there was another robbery attack. On that road, a bridge collapsed and a luxury bus fell into the river. And 72 people died. And they said they died with emphasis. The immediate human reaction that, what are we going to do now? Which other road can we pass? That's the human reaction. Or, of course, some people want to travel. They hear their plane crashed. Where is the plane crashed last? Which country was that one? Okay, the Egypt Air, right? Yes, the one from Paris to... Yes, the one coming from Paris, yes. They hear that one. Ah, next thing is that he's flying safe in this country. The man said, let me just go to Autostar. Let me just go and take a bus. Listen, let's not even analyze the details of what, which one is safer, which one is not safer. Is that response I'm talking about? We're talking about devoted to prayer. Anything you hear must be a cause of prayer. And what is prayer? It's not just God, keep me safe. No, not request now. It's simple. You hear news, you must counteract news with news. You get my point? I said before, faith does not mean we don't know what's happening. Faith means we know something else that is happening that most people don't know. So when you hear of the troubles on the road, this is a prayer immediately. You respond, from seven, he will deliver me. It's a prayer. No evil shall befall me. That's a prayer. It's just a declaration. You are responding to news that you heard. The angels of the Lord encamp around me. They deliver me from all troubles. Are you getting my point? That's prayer. That's what I mean by devoted to prayer. So you find that like that, you can pray 50 times in one day, and you have not yet set any time for prayer. Because news come to you every time. I remember once, I told you I was sitting somewhere, and the lady wanted to talk to me. They were campaigning, like now, NMA and Enuguna is campaigning now, everywhere. If any doctor says, hello, excuse me, cross the road, his vote is looking for. So that day, one lady, we were doing ARD elections, she too, she was campaigning. So she came to where I was, wanted to talk to me. So I turned just to, so she said, oh, did I scare you? I still remember the way I answered. I said, scare me? Scare me? Nothing is big enough to scare me. She said, yes, amen. Because she got, this guy is a bro. He said, yes, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I said, for that, you have my vote. Don't bother campaigning again. I have given you my vote. I'm talking about devoted to prayer. Things come up every time. You will hear news every time. What do I mean by devoted to prayer? Instantly turn around and give it the news of God. I said something the other day, that if you think about it, four people that you sit with, and we did the exercise yesterday, mentally just think about who are the four people I hang out with. If they are not believers, forget it, change them. Your faith is going down, it's not going up. What I want to emphasize, you need people that when things come up, they respond with the word of God, all right? They call and say, I heard this happen. And instantly they start telling you what God says about it. That's what I mean by devoted to prayer. It must be a habit. This WhatsApp that we have, let me give you another injunction. Stop forwarding this so-called call to prayer. They are not called to prayer, they are calls to alarm. They are calls to fear. I get them all the time. Some Quarosh is burning that's been circulating for 8 years. Some people who buy a phone today, they get it for the first time. And they think they have a Christian duty to let you know that Joyce Meyer says you pray for Christians in Quarosh or whatever it is. Whether it exists or not, we don't know. But one thing I'm sure, Joyce Meyer knows nothing about it. And that place has been burning for the last 6 years or so. When it gets to my phone, God is my witness, I have never forwarded one. So you're supposed to make people pray. I said, they won't pray. They become afraid. They become fearful. There are people, there are times I hear news, I know who to call, I know who can pray. All this broadcasting thing is a lie. You are generating alarm. You are not generating faith. You are not generating prayer. How many people do you think know how to pray out there? I mean, you talk to a man like my friend I tell you about all the time. When there was crisis, you'll be forwarding that to him in Sokoto. What are you telling him? You're telling him to run. Those are when I call him, man of God, how are you doing? I'm fine. How's everybody? He says, fine. Okay, you know, just talk about what God is doing, talk about the word of God, talk about things generally. We never discuss Islamic threats. It's against his religion. It's against my religion too. According to him, they should be discussing the Christian threat. That this discussion of Islamic threat is what makes Christians weaker and Islam stronger. That let the Muslims be discussing Islamic, the Christian threat. That is what strengthens faith. Doesn't mean we are careless. No, that's not what it means. It means when we drop the phone, we start praying. We declare God's word. But don't provoke panic everywhere. Which is what Nigerians do these days. Every little thing, you know, they broadcast it everywhere. I say Christians, most of the people who are praying, they are not praying. They are afraid. Because prayer means you lift up the word of God. Most of those who are praying, how many of them bother to pray for those who are persecuting them? No. The prayer is, God, they will die. That's what they pray. Jesus said, no, don't pray like that. Pray. It doesn't mean, I told you, God knows when to judge people. He knows when to judge people. I was telling the story earlier. A man of God went to a sultan that was persecuting Christians and said, the Lord said, you had better stop that. The man didn't hear. The Lord removed him. I'm not kidding. These are real things that happen. Let nobody give you the impression that if Nigeria is just a mistake, any country is just a mistake. God says, this is his word. If my people inside there will do what is right, say what is right, think what is right, and pray the right prayers, they will see me move all the time. In case you do not know it, Christians have the capacity to cripple the hand of God. He gave us that right. The Bible says they tempted God in the wilderness and limited the Holy One of Israel. He wanted to take them into a promised land. They said, we are not able. And God said, that's right, you can't. Why? You said so. If you had just agreed with me, you would have entered the promised land. It would have been well with you. It would have been well with your children. What am I emphasizing today? We must bear it in mind. We say we are devoted to prayer. Things around are hearing. Are you getting my point? When you hear the news of an epidemic, you hear of Ebola. Tell Ebola about God. Tell Ebola about God. I told you once I was listening to radio and I heard the Reverend Sister say, preach glaucoma the way you preach the word of God. I said, if I were the Pope, I sack you, sack your mother superior, sack, dissolve the order that will let you say this. No, I'm serious. How can you compare the preaching of hell with, what kind of joke is that? Huh? Honest, thank God I'm not the Pope. And I didn't, as a Pope, I tuned in that day. I place a call straight to the Archbishop of Nigeria. Sack that Reverend Sister. Sack her mother superior and dissolve the order. The Lord is good.
All the time.
What am I trying to say? Listen, we must learn. Things respond to God's word. We must learn. When you talk about devoted to prayer, it means we respond to every situation. Are you getting my point? With something that God has said. That's devotion to prayer. That's devotion to prayer. Things have ears. They have ears. We read the scriptures now. Jesus looked at a dead girl and said, I say to you, arise. The girl got up. Even though we know dead people don't hear normally. In fact, there was one particular dead one. Interesting guy. Not only was he dead, they held him properly. They wrapped him properly. And Jesus stood outside and said, Lazarus, come forth. He that was bound showed up at the door. How did they get there? Thing was shuffling like this. No. The power in the words lifted him up, dragged him out, and dropped him there. He now said, lose him and let him go. He couldn't go before. Things have ears. I was saying earlier, we must do crazy things. You bring out your phone app, if that's what you want to read, or your ATM card. Something to represent your finances. Or you're a businessman, you bring out your card, a picture of your office, and you sit down and start talking to the situation about God. I'm not praying, I'm just discussing. I want you to know my business. Let's talk about God. Before you were born, I knew you. You know, sometimes when you're using scripture, You have to use crazy things that you wonder what they are talking. If you see the apostles quote Old Testament scripture sometimes, you need faith to know, to believe that they know what they are saying. I was reading my Bible this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Something just struck me that Paul was talking. He said, am I speaking according to human sense? He said, no. He said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that is threshing out the wheat. Now, how does that got to do with a preacher? He said he wasn't talking about cow. He was talking about preachers. That's how they know how to inter- Well, if you hear Paul quote some scripture, you're like, okay, Paul, how does that apply? But believe me, it applies. Sometimes you want to talk to your business, you just bring out Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God began to hover. I hope you are hearing me, business. The Spirit of God began to hover, was hovering over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Your business will decide that, well, there is darkness here. When God said, let there be light, what happened? And you now finish it, and there was light. Business said, there has to be light. How did the tree know how to die? Do you know the answer? You don't. In the same manner, how will your business know there has to be light, and to bring light doesn't concern you? What just matters is that you have told the business that nothing is by chance. Everything was created, and the Creator said, let there be light. Open to Psalm 23 again. The Lord is your shepherd, business, because you are my seed. The Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is your shepherd. Therefore, you shall not want. You will not lack for business, for clients. You won't lack for finances. You will not lack for ideas. All right? You will not lack power. If you need power to run, you won't lack anything. I hope you are hearing. And you are looking, talking to the business card. When your neighbors are staring and like, this guy really don't go. He don't go. Then you know breakthrough has come. I hope you are getting my point. You are in your car. It's old. He has this bad habit of breaking down once in a while. This is a typical Christian human reaction. This car, old car. Na money yab man. That's normal human reaction. Na money yab man. This is the seventh time in 1 month going to mechanic. This suffering will soon be over. Anyway, don't worry. One day, na money. This kind of country where a man can just buy another car. If it was America and I just walk to the shop, Just down pay nothing. Just be paying them $200 every month. But this is Nigeria. What are we going to do? Because our car is breaking down. You insult God, insult the nation, insult yourself. First, let me just say, if you don't like it, pack it. Enter keke. If that one breaks down, you come down, enter the next one. But if you are going to be driving it, why don't you be devoted to prayer? As you are driving, say, Lord, I thank you. It's rainy season. If it rains, I'm inside the car. Are you getting my point? It's not perfect. The car is not the best, but there's something to thank God for. And you start talking to God, to the car again. You enter the car and say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was upon the surface of the engine. And the Spirit of God was hovering inside the cabin. Are you getting my point? You're just reading scripture that you wonder what has that got to do. It doesn't matter. So, and God said, let there be light. Listen, you'll be surprised. Alright? That you talk, you are talking to the car and you tell this car, I want to read out scripture to you. He said, in all that I do, I prosper. In my driving, I prosper. As I hold, whatever I put my hands to do, will prosper. I put my hands in the steering, it will prosper. And you're just talking to the car. See, let me tell you, God is with me. I am above, I am not beneath. You are discussing this and discussing this. Let me tell you the kind of things that are happening. Listen to this. One, wisdom will come to you. You will maintain an old car, it will stop breaking down anyhow. Go and read the book, God Smuggler, Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew drove a Beetle for I've forgotten how many thousands and thousands of kilometers, and he did not know he was supposed to service the car. Go and read the story. He was so busy doing his business, distributing, carrying Bibles to the behind the Iron Curtain, days of communism. that he did not know that he was supposed to service the car. The day the car was going to stop, I've forgotten what happened. I have not read the book in a very long time. He happened to be in a particular workshop where he wanted to buy food or something. One man said, "Let me just help you look at the engine." The man could not believe the car moved down there. The air filter was covered with concrete. Not just dust. The oil was old. The man was like, "How has this car been moving?" By the time he was through, help himself, and I said, "What do I need to do?" He said, "They need to overhaul the engine and stuff like that." He didn't have enough money. Told the guy to start work. Let me make a long story short. God just supernaturally provided some extra money for him to complete what he had to pay the man. But that car never stopped him in the bush. Never left him stranded. Not one day. The first day thing was going to give any sign and symptom was right inside the mechanic workshop where the car was overhauled and turned to new. And God supernaturally just took a stroll, met some students, you know, in the course of gist, they just gave him some money, added to what he had, went and paid the mechanic and drove his car off. The Lord works in literally mysterious ways. Those words you are speaking, it will come out, it will manifest different things. Concerning the car, just be devoted to prayer. You enter the house where you are staying, no matter the complaints you have, be devoted to what? To prayer. Talk to the house about the word of God. That's what I'm trying to say. Listen, from today, no complaint from your mouth. Amen?
Amen.
You will never complain. Amen?
Amen.
No complaints in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Over every situation, we start discussing God's word.
Amen.
Even if your wife is disturbing you at home, maybe one day when she's sleeping, let her be the one to think you have gone crazy. Just carry a Bible and read over her head. She will think you are meditating. She doesn't know that. She won't know she's a prayer point. Just go and tell it is not good for man to be alone. I shall make him a help that is meet, fitting for him. And God and Adam went into a deep sleep, and the Lord took a rib from there and made a woman and brought him to Adam and said, "This is now bone," and he said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. A woman shall she be called." And he said, "In the name of Jesus, a woman shall she be called. A woman shall she be called." How will the word work? I don't know. But working, it will. You flip over to Proverbs chapter 31 and start reading. Yes. You're not saying anything, you're just reading. The virtuous woman. She's sleeping. Just be. I told her, look, Christians, we are the real jazzmen. Are you getting my point? No, is it possible for you to see a man stand over his wife? You won't think something is going on. That is real practice of Christianity. That's, look, oh God. Oh, you have to understand, we are the original Babalawo. Are you getting my point? You know what's Babalawo? You know what it means? Babalawo means, Awo in Yoruba means people that understand mysteries. That's what it means. You know, we grew up to think that it means occult. No, it just means Awo is mystery. People that understand the mysteries. That's what it means. So when you say man, Babalawo, it means the man that understands mysteries. So you know who the Babalawo is now. Are you getting my point? I mean, if there's a Babalawo beside you, give him a high five. Honestly, you know, people don't understand this thing. Don't ask anybody that speaks Yoruba, Awo, that's what they mean, mystery. Mystery. People that are inside, it doesn't mean, you know, the people think of it like a cult, a evil. No. It just means mystery. Who understands something? And when you understand the word of God, that is a mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's a mystery. That's a mystery. You just sit at home and your wife is asleep. You carry the scripture and be reading it to her. Just be reading it, talking about it. Who is God? The God that made Eve for Adam and said it is not good for the man to be alone. And after he made Eve for Adam, his life was better. It is not good that he is alone, that it is good for him to have Eve. I have this one. So when God has blessed you with one, you arrange the home, not to call your friend. I don't know what's going on. This wife is that God gave to me. And that's the Adamic manifestation. Why did you do it? It's not me. It's the woman that you gave to me. It's not my fault. It's an arrangement between you and her. I was obeying God's word until you came and gave me a woman. Start whining and complaining. No, that's not right. Those kind of things, they withdraw the power of God from the home. I hope you're getting my point. We're talking about what? Being devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. That's the point I'm making. It means that we respond every situation, the song that God has said, and we discuss God and his word with our situation. That's my emphasis for today. We normally know how to pray. We know how to declare God's word. But I'm talking about the fact that you do these things knowing that even the dead hears the word of God. Even the dead situation. Go into your office. Things are bad. Business is not moving. Imports are not coming in. You can't export. You can't manufacture. You enter the office, close the door. This is not time to pray, say, in the name of Jesus, I declare. No. There's a time for that. This is just take a Bible. And you want the business to hear God's word. It is written. As a child of God, God spoke to me. He said, I will be fruitful. I will multiply. I will fill the earth. I will subdue. You're not telling the business, say, for that reason. You're just talking. He said, even though the young lions suffer hunger, those that seek the Lord will not lack anything good. I commit my heart again to seeking him. And you're talking knowing that the walls are hearing. The walls are hearing. Listen to me. Look, from there, spirits will go out and go and gather prosperity. You'll still be sitting down there when an idea will come. It's an angel that God told, go and give this boy a message for me. Give this girl a message. An idea will come to you. Suddenly somebody will come to your mind and say, what do they do like this? 6 years later, you are telling stories. I remember one day. By that time, not only did that business flourish, 6 other ones have begun. Staff list now, there are like 200 people that are working for you. And then when they are talking turnover, and I say, okay, last month we were able to turn over 1.5 billion. We thank God. You know, by the end of this year, we are looking at, we should be able to hit the 25 billion mark. Amen. And not a big deal. Just normal discussion. I said, all right, so after everybody has gone, he said, yes, business, where did we stop our discussion? So this is the season of multiplication. I hope you're getting my point. Business, what is called the power of grace. We activate it by being devoted to prayer. That's what I'm talking about. Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Declare, say, I'm devoted to prayer. Before I used to wonder, when you say man prayed all night long, what was he saying? Like one of our brothers said that, you know why disciples fell asleep? Said they only knew how to say the Lord's Prayer. After they said it 2 or 3 times, they fell asleep. Oh, the Lord is good. Now I realize now that no, a man can be devoted to prayer. The time of prayer is good. It's okay. I pray at this time of the day. I pray at this time of the day. Nothing wrong with that, all right? However, I think that we have to take our minds away from thinking that prayer is only a certain time. But let's know that prayer is every time. It's every time. It's when you are looking for your key and you can't find it. It's a time of prayer. It's when you start your car and you realize that fuel is low. It's a time of prayer. There's no money in the pocket. That is the time of prayer. It's when you have food in front of you and it is full. It's big. Everything is there. It's 3 courses. In fact, the 4th course is coming. That's a time of prayer also. That's another thing. Let's never think that prayer is only a time of adversity. No. When they bring food, it's a time of prayer. They give you a glass of water, it's a time of prayer. Are you getting my point? You go for a party, it's a time of prayer. You go to a friend's house, he just bought a car, it's a time of prayer. You join with him and thank God. It's a time of prayer. You bless the car, you bless it. You get to a friend's house, just opening his house, just parking in. It's a time of prayer. You see a woman, she's pregnant. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of prayer. There's no time that's not a time of prayer. You understand? You're just getting back home. Your child comes to give you a hug. Daddy, welcome. That's a time of prayer. It's a time of prayer. The child annoys you is a time of prayer. The child does what is good is a time of prayer. The daddy, they brought my children's report sheet and all of that. So they all did very well. You know, I said, good. I began to bless them also. Yet it will be well with you. You will do like this again. You will do greater things. A time of prayer. Sometimes my children will give me a hug. Ah, that is good morning. It's a time of prayer. It shall be well with you. My wife taught them how to pray. When you greet them, say, how are you? They say, it is well with me. As I'm growing up, I'm getting wiser. No, come to my house. Catch one of my kids when they come Bible study. Say, Victory, how are you? If I catch parents, that's the best one. He never forgets. Daddy, welcome. I say, parents, how are you? And he's walking away. It is well with me. As I'm growing up, I'm getting wiser. He's walking away. I'm just telling you. That's it. I mean, it's one thing my wife learned from one of her friends and sat down and taught the kids that when they say, how are you? They're like, you're fine. Say, it is well with me. As I'm growing up, I'm getting wiser. It's a time of prayer. The time the kids come to greet you is a time of prayer. You want to go to bed at night, it's a time of prayer. You wake up at night, it's a time of prayer. You go to the toilet and you sit on the white throne, it's a time of prayer. It's a time of prayer. I'm telling you, it's a time of prayer. You know, was it this morning? Yes, I do things like that. I was brushing my teeth, yes, in the bathroom. I was brushing my teeth. And I began to give God thanks. I said, Lord, I thank you. Water is not scarce. I put water in my mouth. Lord, I thank you. There's abundance of it. It's a time of prayer, I'm telling you. I took time out this morning. I just came. Lord, I thank you for toothpaste. Put it on the toothbrush. Finish brushing. This water. Lord, I thank you. Water is not scarce. Thank you, it's raining. Thank you, the wells have water. Not in America, all the pipes have water. This, if it's well, you have. You thank. Look, every time is a time of prayer. If things are rough, it's a time of prayer. And what is prayer? It's simple. Let's just declare God's word. You know, for a long time, we felt that, what are we going to pray for an hour? Lord, in the name of Jesus, give me a car. Give me a car. I receive it. After 5 minutes, even after the first 5 seconds, it heard. But if prayer for us is declaring God's word and making, bearing in mind that things around are hearing and we are telling things around what God has said, then you realize that it is possible to be devoted to prayer. Let's pray. Let's give the Lord thanks first of all. Say, Lord, thank you. Because you are God indeed. Just thank you for that. Say, Lord, I thank you because you are God indeed. Say, Lord, thank you because your power is available. Thank you because I'm initiated into the mysteries of Christ. I thank you because the word of God, the mysteries of Christ, is revealed unto me. Thank him. Say, because you have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is important. Thank God for it. That is the initiating step. That's the initiating step to the mysteries of God. It is the initiating step to the mysteries of God. That righteousness of faith. It means that you are not heard because of what you did. You are heard because of what Christ did. You are not heard because of what he did. You are heard because of what Christ did. Thank him. Just give him thanks for that. I feel strong. Let's do that. Just thank God that, Lord, I thank you because you have forgiven me of all my sins. You have washed me clean by the power of the blood of Jesus. Say that to him. Say, Lord, I give you thanks for it. I thank you because I can approach your throne without fear. I can approach before you without inferiority complex, without a feeling of inferiority. I can approach your throne knowing that I am loved and I am heard. I can approach your throne knowing that I belong there. Thank you because Jesus did that, not me. Whatever I could have done would have been insufficient. Whatever I ever tried could never have worked. But Jesus did it. It made a way. He tore the veil. Thank him for that. Say, Lord, I thank you. He tore the veil. The veil was ripped apart. And because of that, I can enter into that throne. Let's worship him for that. Now let's put the word of God upon our lips. Now remember something in the book of Genesis chapter 1. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God began to hover or was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, light be. And there was light. That's literally what happened. God said, light be. I want us to do something. Sometimes in life we have, you know, we have situations that look formless and void. Things are not working well the way we expect them to work. But he said the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. What does that mean for us? It means for us as believers, what we do is to brood with God's word over the situation. Like I was saying earlier, it's not as if the Spirit of God was just moving and wandering. I believe that it was incubating the mind of God. It was incubating what God had in mind, which for us, for you, for me, is the word that has been revealed. I hope you're getting my point. When you are in that situation, you are looking at that circumstance. You are in your office, like I said, where things are not working out well. You're not there contemplating the problems themselves. You've done that already. You know the problems. But now you begin to brood upon what the Spirit is saying. Are you getting my point? That's it. You brood upon what the Spirit is saying. Remember, now I know God can give a specific word, but there is enough in the Scriptures. Are you getting my point? For us to brood upon. Like I said earlier, it's not even trying to make sense. Just know the Scripture and recall them to mind. I'm fruitful. I multiply. I fill the earth. By my hands, God will produce something great on this earth because he said his seed will be mighty on the earth. This business is my seed. This thing is my seed. It's an idea I began to work on. It's an idea I began to bring to birth because I know it will be a blessing for people. The wisdom of God was what caused me to start this. So that scripture applies. I will be fruitful. That is what is called brooding. The mistake, you know, sometimes, like I said, we confuse spiritualism and spirituality. What is spiritualism? You sit down and say, okay, let me begin to imagine that my clients are sitting all around me. Sometimes the clients will not sit around you. They will sit in their countries and be doing, FaceTime and Skype. Don't worry about that. God has many ways by which he will fulfill that which he has said. Brood upon what he said. There's a scripture I read today. Genesis chapter 12. I don't know how it applies to this, but it's exciting me. No, don't bother. Unless you have Bible in basic English, don't bother. It's only if you have Bible in basic English. Is that the version that's exciting? Bible in basic English, Genesis chapter 12. The promise of God to Abraham. I read it this morning there. I was excited. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go out from your country and from your family and from your father's house into the land to which I will be your guide. You know, before people say that God will show you, I said God will show you in a vision. No. Bible in basic English made it clear that God said, you are going to a land into which I will be your guide. That was why Abraham did not know exactly where he was going. God was just leading him from one place to another, from one place to another. I said, my father, let's just read the next few verses. And I will make you a great nation, blessing you and making your name great. And you will be a blessing. Now listen to this verse 3. Hey, tell people this when you go anywhere. So, he said, to them who are good to you, I will give blessing. Are you getting my point? It's not, you know, the wish because if somebody blesses you and say, it shall be well with you, then God bless you. No. He said, if people are good to you, I will bless those people. Hey. He said, and on him who does you wrong, I will put a curse. If I like the way he said, I will put my curse on him who does you wrong. And you will become a name of blessing to all the families of the earth. That's Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3 in Bible in basic English. I read it this morning. It excited me. I don't know about you, but it excited me. But why did I read it this time? He said, into the land. That we are going to a land to which I will be your guide. I will lead you there. You may not be sure of what the land is, where it is, but one thing you are certain is that I will guide you there. I hope you are getting my point. Yes, so if you sit down there and you are declaring, look, don't declare your own ideas. Declare God's word. God's word will bring out things that you never imagined. The things you are declaring, that is, you are declaring your own ideas, there are things you have imagined. But there are things that God will birth in your life that you never imagined. So you sit down there and you declare God's word. And you say to the business at the end of the day, you say, let there be light in you. You say, live, as opposed to die. You say to the business, live. Remember what we said the other time? Keeping the faith up. Jesus said something to them. The child is not dead, but only what? You tell your business, you're not dead. You're only sleeping. Now I say to you, live, awake. Let's begin to pray. Just think about it. Think about something as we're preaching, something came to your mind. Something you think should live. You want to live. Because what is happening right now is opposed to what God said. It's opposed. Oh, these words are powerful. That is our words. We take God's open our mouth. They are powerful. They are powerful. Like I said earlier, this Africa, a lot of us grew up with that knowledge. Babalawo does this, Dibia did this. Now you know the meaning of Babalawo. He's the one who understands the mysteries. And you understand the mysteries of God. The deep mystery is the word of God. Declare it this evening. Declare it over that situation. Declare it over your life. Declare it over everything. Declare it over the nation. Know that Aso Rock is hearing from here. Say there will be peace in this land. Now let's just, before you talk about the nation, take your own personal situation. We'll talk about the nation in a moment. We'll close in the next few minutes. No point staying too late. Please, can you pause for a moment? I need to tell somebody something. You know, this is what happens in life. You know, David said something at the time. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, he said, lead me to the rock. Now, what I want to bring out is this. David said, my heart is overwhelmed. You know what it means for somebody's heart to be overwhelmed? You have like six troubles coming to you at the same time. Now, that's a general person's heart being overwhelmed. But this is when a Christian's heart is overwhelmed, when all the scripture he has confessed is not working. Yes, that's when you know you're over. Because when the six troubles come, you go to pray. Are you getting my point? It's normal. But this is when you have prayed. Are you getting my point? You have already prayed. You have confessed the word you thought you knew. And you said, by Friday, God will send money. This is Saturday morning. He didn't send anything. That is when the heart is overwhelmed. He said, what do I want to tell somebody? I'll tell you. It's simple. It means don't try and make sense of anything. Don't ask yourself, what am I going to do now? Just take one simple scripture and recite it like a parrot. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Just recite like a fool. And lie down there and do nothing. Yes, I don't know why I'm saying that, but I think somebody needs to hear it. All the troubles come at the same time, and you have prayed, and the answer refused to show. Listen, don't agree to do anything wrong. Anything that you would never have done except for this trouble, don't do it. If you're the type before that would never agree to travel abroad because of prosperity, they now give you the open door. Don't take it. Say, I will travel, but not now, because I must learn to persevere in tribulation. Just lie down there, look for one scripture. Just recite it like an idiot. You know what I'm saying? Just wake up. It can be as funny as Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. He's the one that created the heavens and the earth. God, thank you. You are the creator of heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Just be turning up and down. Don't go anywhere. Put up the phone. Don't do anything. This is a word. A miracle is on your way.
Amen.
Let me say it again. A miracle is on somebody's way.
Amen.
When the Lord will turn again the captivity of Zion, it will appear as if you were dreaming. Let me say it again. A miracle is on the way.
Amen.
Jesus said to that man, just keep on believing. And like we said last time, how does a man keep on believing? He keeps on declaring the same word and keeps on giving God the glory. We saw the other day, looking at the life of Abraham. Abraham refused to do what many Christians do today. Blame situations. The Bible said he was just giving God the glory. He looked at his body as good as dead. He said, fine, you can stay dead. Now let me turn around and hold on to God's promises and give him the glory. And that one that thought it was dead woke up and received life. The womb of Sarah received life. Listen, when Sarah heard it, she started laughing. People think she was doubting. It was not doubt. It was amazement. I pray you get the point. The woman was embarrassed. When she heard it, she said, He said, hey, at my age, shall your servant still have pleasure? That's what she said. She started laughing. So the Lord said, you're laughing. She said, no, I wasn't laughing. People thought, I used to think that she was that. No. She was like, no, I wasn't laughing. That's why the name of Isaac is what? Laughter. That laughter was not doubt. It was not doubt. Let me say it again. A miracle is on somebody's way.
Amen.
A miracle is on somebody's way.
Amen.
All you need to do is just take one scripture and keep on reciting it like a parrot. Don't try and make sense. Of course, why is your heart overwhelmed? All the plans are failed. If you had another plan, wouldn't you be using it? Why would you be overwhelmed? Is that all the plans are failed? And let me tell you something. It's when all your plans have failed that your life is good. If all your plans worked, God is not blessing you yet. It's when all your plans have failed that your life is what? Is good. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Begin to give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Take your own scripture and begin to recite it over that situation, over your life. Well, we keep on believing. That's what we're talking about. No matter what happens, we keep on believing. No matter what happens, we keep on believing. No matter what happens, we keep on believing. Say something to your life. Say, you are not dead. You are just sleeping. Say to your body, you are not dead. You are just sleeping. Say to that business, you are not dead. You are just sleeping. Say to your children, you are not dead. You are just sleeping. Say to your wife, say to your husband, say to your career, say to your ministry. No matter how things are, that can be your word. Just lie and say, you are not dead, you are just sleeping. It can be your word that dry bones will live again. But definitely, believe you receive and you shall have. Something is working. Don't ever forget it. As you are saying, these things are hearing you. Your bed is hearing you. The floor of your house is hearing. The land you bought somewhere is hearing you. It's arranging diggers for your foundation because they have to lift something.
Amen.
Hey, listen. The land you bought somewhere is hearing you. There's a man driving a car right now far away. He starts hearing and he starts moving that thing in your direction because it's crucial for the next phase of your life. God wants, a miracle is on somebody's way. Something is breaking in your life. An addiction is breaking. It's breaking. An addiction is breaking. It is breaking your life. Believe that you receive and you will have. We keep the faith on. We will not let... That is... We will hold on to this. I told you, people take doctor's medicine for years. But when God speaks, if it doesn't work overnight, they say it's not working. Listen, it's working. The Spirit of God is there, it is working. This is your season of fruitfulness. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you for Christ. Because in Him all your promises. Everybody say after me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, I give you thanks.
Because I am in Christ.
And Christ is in me. Say it again, I am in Christ.
And Christ is in me.
Say all the promises of God.
They are mine in Him.
Not because of what I did.
But because they are in Christ.
And I am in Christ.
Therefore they are mine.
Say the promises of God.
They have been granted to me.
I have God's promises.
And they are being fulfilled in my life.
The promise of long life,
the promise of holiness, the promise of righteousness, the promise of fulfillment, the promise of divine protection, the promise of increase on every side is being fulfilled in my life. I don't know why I like to say this all the time. Say, in Christ,
every curse
is broken.
I am free.
I am not a slave anymore.
In Christ,
every curse
is broken.
Ancestral curses,
personal curses.
What I mean by that, I want you to do something with your hand. The just recompense of reward for disobedience. That one too can be forgiven.
Amen.
Are you getting my point? People say that you can be forgiven, but the consequences remain. That's not Christ's gospel. The consequences disappear in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Declare it again. Say, in Christ Jesus,
I am free.
Totally.
Completely.
To the uttermost.
From the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
It's in Christ.
That is, you know what that means? Let me just explain it briefly. When you see something, it's in Christ. Do you know what that means? Many of us don't realize. Let me just take a moment and explain it again. It simply means that you did not produce it. It was there when you were born. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
You were born into it as a Christian. That's what it means. People say, okay. And you sow a seed, you now prosper. That's not Christ's prosperity. Christ's prosperity is that it was there. You were born into it. When you give, I keep on saying as a believer, is divine nature manifested. Yes, that's a good one. Yes. You write it down in your house. Giving is divine nature manifested. Any Christian that's not a cheerful giver is hindering divine nature. You are lying. You are making God look like he's not a giver. I hope you know you're a reflection of him.
Yes.
You'll be deceiving people about the true character of God. Is it good? So let's get it. However, what does it mean for someone to be in Christ? It means Jesus paid and you were born into it. That's what it means for someone to be in Christ. It means I tap into it by faith, not by my works. It means when I go to pray, I know that somebody else did the work. And the only claim I have to it is that I believe in him. Whosoever believes in him, he has given the power to become a son of God. That's what it means when something is in Christ. When you hear it's in Christ, that's what it means. When you hear in Christ, that's the meaning of in Christ. That means your long life is in Christ, it's not in your genes. I don't know whether I hear that.
Yes,
divine protection is in Christ, it's not in America.
Yes,
protection is in Christ, not in France. So if I want to go to France, this is go carry extra Christ along, because France has an annoying level of terrorism. You know, one of my friends, he lives on the island in Borneo, one of our brothers. So the time that Niger Delta militants were shooting those days, not these defenders. Forget when there was militancy, these defenders are just looking for money. When there was militancy, he said that one, you go to here and they live in a gas plant. Ha. That one, JTF sent their best. He said that's when he knew that jazz know they work, no physical jazz. He said the boys appear. When JTF released, only time they die. Anyway, he said that time, a lot of his colleagues relocated their children, the family to Abuja. As soon as everything calmed down in Niger Delta, next thing, Boza in Abuja. Hey, one guy said, yeah, where will I go now? I took these people from here. Next thing, hear of what they call Madala bombing, this other bombing, this one motorpark bombing in Abuja. The guy said, hey, I ran away from Borneo. Because I thought Abuja was safe. Listen to me. Your safety is in Christ. It's not in places.
Amen.
I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Safety is not in Nigeria. It's not in America.
Yes, sir.
Safety is not in France. You have discovered that one.
Yes.
That one is very clear to everybody. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
There's no safety anywhere. Safety is only where?
In Christ.
So declare, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In Christ I am safe.
In Christ I am safe.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In Christ I prosper.
In Christ I prosper.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In Christ.
In Christ.
I have divine health.
I have divine health.
I need to say that one. You are not safe in that health wise now because you jog or you eat low cholesterol food. After all, we found out beginning from late last year that low cholesterol food is not anything better than high cholesterol food. You found out or not? And those of you who have been listening for a long time, you're very happy. That follow man who no road. The Lord is good. Your health is in Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Your long life is in Christ.
Amen.
Oh, I forgot to mention this. I should say it before I will close. It's not in your genes. It's not in your genes. Good or bad is not in your genes.
Amen.
Your genes don't carry long life. Christ carries long life.
Amen.
Your genes do not carry health. Christ carries health.
Amen.
Your genes guarantees nothing. Only Christ guarantees everything.
Amen.
Let me summarize like this. The blessings of Christ are yours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The blessings of Christ are yours in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because of you, God will preserve this nation. Because he just wants to bless you, this nation will prosper.
Amen.
Because God wants to show his power through you, because of your faith, this nation will prosper.
Amen.
You indeed are the salt of this nation,
Amen.
And you are the light of this nation.
Amen.
You know what that means? God will shine through you,
Amen.
And preserve the land because of you.
Amen.
Let me say it again. He will shine through you,
Amen.
And preserve the land because of you.
Amen.
Oh, Father, we give you thanks. We worship you again today. Let's just wave our hand for just like a few seconds as a way of saying, Lord, thank you. We appreciate you. We give you the glory. You are the most high God. You are the King of the whole earth. You are our Father, most importantly. You are the most high God. You are the judge of the earth. You are the King of kings. But most importantly, you are our Father. We raise our hands and wave our hands just to say thank you. And we acknowledge that in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Again, because we are Babalawos and we understand the mysteries, we have a way of sharing grace. It's prophetic. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, go.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.
This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus.
Say that again. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of
Jesus.
Bless somebody on your left and on your right.
This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus.
Another person, please. All right, cheer up, brethren.